two-thirds of our weakness actually shows up when we're ineffectively using our strengths. So when we either underuse them, choose to not use them, or don't feel the ability to use them, or when we overuse them.
Welcome to another Aloha Pulse episode with today's guest, Nermeen Zakari. It's so beautiful to have you here, and I'm so happy that we already connected a little bit about the weather and so on, but we're going to go much, much deeper in this podcast episode than what we did just now, because you're a practitioner of strength, particularly how to strategically apply them to accelerate performance, energy, relationships, and results. And I find it so beautiful because you just bring a whole new perspective to what strengths actually are and how we can reframe these. And also, you're a certified people acuity coach. So you coach individuals almost for 15 years, I read, and that's just beautiful. So you bring so much wisdom, so many experiences, and so much strength, you could say, to this podcast episode in the areas that you're most experienced in. And that's just so beautiful. And then on the other hand, we're connecting between upstate New York and Munich over here. And that's just so beautiful that this podcast makes it possible for you and me to connect and to share what you can bring about the topic of strength to our listeners. And so I'm very, very curious to hear more about all the topic of strength and how that ties into confidence and what we can do with it. And yeah, so welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Isabella. I'm so looking forward to our conversation.
Me too. So cool. So yeah, I have that one sentence that I encircled, and you said the focus is on strength building instead of weakness fixing. So before we get into that exactly, how would you define strength and how would you define weakness? Because I think it's so simple in a way, but we have to set a common ground here before we get started into deeper topics of it to really get the details.
So strengths are the things that come naturally, the ways that we naturally think, feel, and behave that create great performance and high energy. So there's things that I do well, things that come easily for me, things that I learn quickly. Things when I complete them, perform them, I produce excellence. But the element that we might not think about is the element of energy as well. That there is this, I'm energized, I am excited, and having fun when I am completing these activities. We often think of strength as strictly related to performance. But I can be great at something and do it well, but it drains me. I might be great at organizing, for example. But when I think about needing to organize my desk drawer or my closet, you know, and I'm completely drained. That's not necessarily an area of strength. Where we want to look at is both energy and performance as well. And a weakness is something that drains me. It's something that gets in the way of my performance and in the way of energy and excitement and fulfillment. So perhaps different perspectives looking at strengths and weakness.
Yeah, I find it really interesting because what you said and what I find most interesting when I think about, okay, what's strength for me is the thing, okay, if I learned something and I just learned it because somebody told me that I had to do it or I was expected from my family and so on, it doesn't mean that the thing that I am the best in is the thing that really is my strength. Because if it's training, then it's not really your strength. And I find that super interesting because that's basically what flips the switch. And that's the thing that we should do then, and not just like, oh yeah, you have been a carpenter for 20 years and then not just do that because you're good at it, but maybe that's not your strength. And then you're drained and you get sick and you don't have a well-lived life, you could say. So what's the point in that?
Absolutely. That's exactly it.
Cool. Yeah, so that's so interesting. And yeah, so then in the end, you, as I said before, you're about strength building instead of weakness fixing. And yeah, that's the thing. Like in our German school system, we are focused a lot on weakness fixing. And I guess that it's the same in the US. And we just all come out of these school systems thinking that we have to fix our weaknesses and everything that's wrong with us. And it's so enriching to have a new perspective on, okay, no, actually, just let's just look at what you're good at and what brings you joy and allow yourself to do that. So that's pretty amazing. And how would you say, what's the best way to find your strength and to actually tap into that? Because I think for many people, the most difficult thing is to actually determine which one is their strength and not the one that they're trained in.
Yeah. There's been a lot of research done in the last 50, 60 years on the topic of strengths. And assessments abound that are available for users to take. The one that changed my world is the Clifton Strengths Assessment. Many would know it as the Strengths Finder 2.0 assessment. And so that's, you can complete an assessment and receive a report with your top five, your top three. There are many different ways to uncover and explore. But there, you know, if you don't have the assessment in front of you, some of the things we've already talked about are things that you can pay attention to. So, you know, where does learning come easily for you? Where do you find your time, like time just flies. You're engrossed. You're so engrossed in an activity, and time just flies. That you experience this timelessness. There are moments when you feel so content, Isabella, when you've completed an activity. You feel at peace. You feel fulfilled. Pay attention to those. Also, those glimpses of excellence when you've completed an activity and you look at how beautiful it is, how excellent it is, and just pay attention to those as well. And so those are some of the things that you can start paying attention to. It's also worth asking other people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you appreciate about the way that I show up? What do you see as a strength? What do you lean on from me? What do you depend on when we're together? So there are many different ways that one can explore. Mm-hmm. Again, many assessments, personal discovery, paying attention to, and again, energy and performance, like we spoke about earlier. And also, ask other people, what do you think? What do you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess that all of these parts were part of your own journey too then, right? So how did you actually find your way out of the same school system, out of the parts and the things that we learn in our society back to the work that you do now? So would you mind sharing a little bit about your own story?
How much time do you have?
Well, it depends.
Actually, it's a very personal and profound. It was very profound for me. So growing up, I am Egyptian. My family immigrated to, I was born in Egypt. We immigrated when I was two. And so culturally, very similar to the German culture, right? There's a focus on excellence and quality grades and what your career will be. And so there was this lot of expectations growing up. And thankfully, I met the expectations around my grades. I did well. There were expectations that, again, culturally, that we would be either a doctor or an engineer, or you know, just a move into a that type of a profession. My dad was a doctor. I loved biology and chemistry. I wanted to help people. So it just made absolute sense that Nermeen would go to medicine. And I, even at my high school graduation, I received awards because I was going into the field of medicine in a pre-med program in high school. So having done well, again, high expectations from the family, high expectations of myself, I started my career in, I took my first biology class, took my first biology exam, and I failed it. I literally bombed it with a 54. And it was, it really shook me up. I managed to recover. I did well on the next exam. But for this was came as a big blow, as my first big experience at university. And it had me, it took me down this spiral. I asked myself, you know, do I love this enough to work this hard? For the next 4 years, for the next 8 years, for the rest of my life, do I love this field enough to work this hard? So it took me down this path where I explored many other fields, anthropology and sociology and psychology and economics. I mean, I tried everything, and nothing was satisfying. I ended up graduating from my university with a Bachelor of Arts in a science. And so having been very successful in high school, Isabella, I left college feeling truly like a complete failure. And this really stayed with me for 20 years of my life. At some point, after some major life events, I went on to pursue my master's in education and felt redeemed. I did well in that program. I loved everything about it. And it took me out of a job into my current, you know, to a different role, that's where I learned about strengths. So here's the experience with strengths. I was invited to a workshop called Discover Your Strengths. And of course, I didn't know how to answer that question. It was interesting at my work. I was in between projects, and I often thought about applying for a different role in the company, perhaps exploring some other things. And I knew that I would get asked questions like that, and I didn't know how to answer them. Of course, very interesting. I bought the book. So the program was I bought the book, the Clifton, the StrengthsFinder 2.0, complete the assessment and bring your results. I did the assessment. I got my results and I didn't like them. I didn't like them. I got these fluffy words that I thought had nothing to do with anything that I had achieved over the course of my career. Wow. And secondly, I saw them as my weaknesses. So my top two were adaptability and empathy. Adaptability is for me, as flexible as I can be, I can't make a decision for my life. And so that indecision has cost me opportunities. It creates frustration with everyone around me, including myself. It was a source of pain and anxiety. Empathy, I will ruminate for days about a conversation I've had with someone. I said too much. I said too little. Oh, I know that thing hurt them. I probably shouldn't have used that word. Or I gave too much advice. I shouldn't have said as much. I will literally ruminate for days. Like I feel and I think too hard. And these are moments of, again, pain and anxiety. And always thinking about how my interaction is impacting the other person. So I saw these words as has nothing to do with anything I've achieved. And I was, they were my weaknesses as far as I was concerned. So I walked into this workshop thinking this was just another silly personality test. I walked out after 90 minutes saying everybody needs to know their strengths. Everybody needs to know their strengths. I experienced a literal paradigm shift in the course of that 90 minutes.
Wow.
And the shift for me was when the facilitator asked us to think back over the course of the last couple of weeks and write down the things that we look forward to, that we enjoy doing, and that make us feel strong. You know, of course, I started to feel a little bit more positive, but I had to share those with the gentleman sitting next to me. Isabella, I don't remember his name. I don't remember what he looks like. If I saw him today, I wouldn't know it was him. All I remember is how I felt during the course of that conversation. Of course, he had the list of my top five strengths in front of him, and I was sharing my experiences. And as I was sharing each one, he was pointing at my strengths. He said, "Nermeen, you were using that one." And I would share another one. He's like, "Nermeen, you were using that one." I'm saying, "What? Whoa, what's going on? What's happening here?" And I realized that I was, when I use them, I'm experiencing some element of joy, happiness. When I use them, I'm doing something useful. Even impactful. Now, I didn't use that language at the time, but I knew something positive was happening. And it hit me that I had spent the bulk of my adult life trying to live up to someone else's expectations and never quite meeting them, or comparing myself to other people. Why can't I be like so-and-so? Why can't I do what she does? And never feeling good enough. And in that moment, for the first time, honestly, I think in my adult life, it was okay to just be me. It was such a big deal.
Wow. That's really, really beautiful. Amazing, yeah. How just that experience of seeing your weaknesses that you perceived as weaknesses, so things that you saw that they were not talent of yours, it was not really useful. So actually you already, like what we said in the beginning, what weaknesses and strengths are, that's really interesting to bringing that back now and seeing, oh okay, you thought that they were weaknesses because they were so easy and so not useful and not what you actually wanted to see in yourself. But I think that so many people have that problem, that the things that come really easy to you are actually valuable and like can be genius. And just because they come easy, that makes a genius. It's not because you had to work hard for them.
Right.
That's super important, I think.
And an area, so one of, and also to build on that, one of the reasons I saw them as my weaknesses is because I was overusing them. Mm. You see, adaptability for me is beautiful. It's it allows me to be flexible and create ease for people around me. It allows me to I love variety, to change things up. I hate doing the same thing twice. I love changing things up and exploring new things. Never serve the same meal. Where, you know, for company, I have to try a new recipe. Little silly things like that, but it's part of the fun for me. When I overuse it to the point where I'm so flexible that I can't make a decision, then I'm being ineffective and I'm creating frustration. And that's where it shows up as a weakness. So when I over, it's the overuse of a strength, of a gift, mm-hmm. that then flips it around to be something that it's not.
It also feels a little bit like getting lost in the options. And because you are so adaptable to many different situations, it's like being a kid in a candy shop and seeing too many options.
Then, yes.
Yeah.
You coined it. You coined it. That's it.
And I think that's the thing with many passions or many strengths in a way too, that you think, oh, okay, that comes easy to you, and then you overdo it. But I would like to get a little bit deeper into that. How can we make sure that we use strength in the way that's healthy and not to overuse or underuse them? Because underusing can happen if you're not aware of them at all, right? But on the other hand, overusing them also comes from, I would say, also from the not being aware of your strength, of that, having that strength and what you can actually make good with it rather than being lost in it.
Yeah. So it starts with awareness. First of all, it's really important to understand that I think we all understand to a degree that there are things that I see other people are able to do very well that for sure I can't do, and I don't do well. It comes easily for them. I don't know how to do it. So those would be, you would call those blind spots or areas of natural weakness, perhaps, or just things that don't come naturally, right? We can call them blind spots. But most of the 2/3 of our weakness actually shows up when we're ineffectively using our strengths. So when we either underuse them, choose to not use them, or don't feel the ability to use them, or when we overuse them. So that's an important concept to understand. Mm-hmm. Secondly, it's also to really think about, okay, so now I kind of have a sense for what my strengths are. Well, let's talk about how we sometimes show up with them, because we show up with them from a couple different places. Sometimes I come from this place of dependence, where I am not, I'm expecting the world or the environment to notice my strengths, to know what I need and give me the opportunity to express them. When I'm in this place of waiting, then I'm not using them. I'm expecting things from other people. And so I'm not showing up using them. They're kind of going to waste. When I'm in that place of waiting, I kind of get sick of being, I probably will get sick of being there because nothing's happening in my life. I go to another place called independence, where now, you know what? No one's taking care of me or noticing me. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm going to show up. I'm going to use my strengths. I'm going to show the world, and I'm going to take care of this and that and accomplish all the things that I want. When I'm in that space, when I'm so focused on myself and just showing up with my strengths, I tend to overuse them. And I'm not paying attention really to anyone around me or their gifts, how they can contribute. I stay in this, I work in a silo. I'm focused on myself and I don't invite others in my space. We sometimes think this is a productive place to be because we're getting stuff done. But what happens is we alienate people when we're so focused on making things happen. And we naturally go here because when we're not using our strengths, we feel like we have no control. And we tend to think, we feel like I should be in control. So I come to this, I might step into this place of independence. Now, it gets lonely being out there by myself, trying to get stuff done. So I might find myself starting to look for people who think like I do, who validate my viewpoints. And I create this, what we call faux teamwork. Like I create this space around me, but it's this place of what we could call codependence. Isn't a place where I'm inviting different viewpoints. It can become toxic if we all are, we're looking just to validate ourselves and not inviting other viewpoints into our space. Things become a transaction. There's no meaning or feeling in that space. So again, it's important for us to understand where we're coming from. Am I effectively using my gifts, or am I finding myself in one of these three? In one of these three, I tend to exhibit some behaviors that aren't serving myself or anyone else. I might find myself, it's quick to blame someone else. It's quick to become defensive. It's quick to politely avoid certain topics or fall into contempt where there's bullying or name calling. The better place to be, where I'm going to be the most effective, is this place of interdependence or strategic collaboration with others, where there's synergy, where I know who I am, I know the gifts, I know how I contribute, I know my strengths, and I have confidence in that, and I'm also vulnerable enough to invite others, where I know that I don't have everything, Isabel. I can't possibly do everything on my own. I need other people. We need each other. So together we get where we want to go faster and better, and we create beautiful things because each of us has brought the best of who we are. And this place is it, to get there, we use this, again, this concept of confident vulnerability.
I'm loving that.
Confidence.
I like that.
Right? You're all about increasing, helping women have that confidence. Mm-hmm. Like, I know who I am.
Yeah.
And then what I'm not. And both are okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I find that so important what you said about the interdependence, also like being able to trust your strength and seeing it as such, and not like you said before, oh, actually I thought they're my weaknesses and now they become my strength. Like, you really have to make that shift. If you don't make the shift, you always walk around thinking that you just have weaknesses, and maybe you think that some things are your strengths, but they're not. And then you kind of rely on these because they just don't feel right. So there is nothing you can hold on to. And if you have nothing inside yourself that you can trust and hold on to and show up with, of course you don't feel confident. Of course you don't trust others. Of course you're more inside other person and want to adapt to their needs, or you want to show up as a person super independent and not get let anybody go like come near you or stuff like that. Like, it's always like out of balance. But once you find your center and be able to trust in that, what you can do with your strength, then it's, I think it's, yeah, and confident vulnerability, I'm loving that term. so good. Yeah, wow, that's I think that's huge. Also about what you said with the three aspects that you can, I would say, fall out of balance with who you are and how you can show up. I think it's so interesting to find the balance between your inside world and the outside world, and being not too much drawn outside because you have a need that you want others to fix for you. And on the other hand, not letting the outer world define so much about yourself, so you don't actually have any say in who you actually are and what you want to do. It's like you can be pulled in both directions, right?
It's a balance. Yeah. It's about striking that balance. As I'm listening to you, that's the phrase that comes to me. It really is about striking the balance, isn't it? That's confident vulnerability. It's the knowing who I am, and being okay with what I'm not, and trusting that when I show up with the best of who I am, and I invite the gifts of others around me, and I'm open to it, how that enriches my life, how I receive the gift of being able to perhaps enrich their life as well.
Mm. So how did you get out of that workshop when we go back to that situation where you realized, oh, actually I did a whole paradigm shift, and then you were back to your regular life back then? How did you put those strengths into effect, and how did you bring them to your daily life, and what happened afterwards? Like, what happened after the happy end?
it was a process for sure. What changed for me is what was interesting, I didn't know I had a calling, but I think mm-hmm. I found my calling that day. I couldn't stop talking about it, Isabella. I came home. I have the time they were my two teenage sons. It was funny, actually, because I shared with them, I said, I went to this amazing workshop today, and I'm telling my husband and the boys, and look at my strengths. I'm so excited. And they said, Mom, we agree with all of them, but adaptability, are you sure? You might need to go back and retake it.
Wow.
All right. but it was funny, and it was honestly, I don't think a day has gone by since that I don't talk about strengths. What happened for me is I was the only one in that conference room, 20, 25 people, that went up to the facilitator and said, how do I get my hands on this material? This was mind blowing. So I ended up borrowing their materials. I purchased the videos, and actually in less than 2 months had delivered the workshop to my team at work. And did it a couple more times. I got my hands in some coaching content materials and started practicing with anyone that would be willing to sit and listen with me and have a conversation. And then I sought out training and certification because I wanted to get good at having these conversations with folks. And I landed on this, I found this company called Strength Strategy at the time. They're now People Acuity. And what really attracted me to them is they were talking about the application of strengths. That it's not enough to know what they are. How do I use them?
Yes.
To have stellar performance, to have wonderful relationships, to find, you know, creative ways to solve my problems. And that was music to my ears, because even with the conversations, the fun practice conversations I was having, folks would say, you know, this is, Nermeen, this is really great, but now what am I supposed to do with it? I didn't know. And that's what they were talking about. So that's the certification program that I went mm-hmm. through, and where I learned about dependence, independence, codependence, and this concept, this beautiful concept of interdependence and getting there with confident vulnerability. What changed for me, Isabella, over time is I started to appreciate my strengths instead of seeing them as weaknesses. I saw their beauty. I saw that instead of needing to compare myself with other people, I can appreciate how adaptability contributes in my relationships. I can appreciate how empathy, actually both of them together, create a safe place for people to be.
Beautiful.
Whether I'm in a coaching conversation or just being with my family and friends, I saw my other strengths as, you know, connectedness is one of them. It's the thing that I'm delighted when I see connections between things. It lights me up, and I help other people see those connections. Things they can't see, I'm able to share. So what shifted for me really is that what changed for me personally is that I was able to see them as gifts and feeling this responsibility now to use them to serve as part of my purpose. I need to use them effectively to support my family, to support my clients, to be effective in everything that I do. So.
Beautiful. So that's where you are now, really using your strength in your work, in your family, in your social circle and so on. And that's, I can imagine how much you've changed from just finding your strength. It sounds so easy in a way, because over here, I also did a few workshops and so on. And I really always wanted to discover myself. So I really did everything I could to learn about my persona and who I am. And there are so many different models and systems and stuff like that, right? But what I find most beautiful in that is that all of these are just helpers, you could say. And then what you said before, like, okay, I went to that and I have these five strengths and I really explored that. So that's where actually the beauty starts, I think. It's like in the moment where you start discovering yourself, but with the right focus, with like the appreciation for it, with like expanding it and making it visible for yourself, because then it's also visible for the others. And then what you also said, you don't have to compare yourself to others, because what's the point in that? They just have different strengths, and why would you compare your treasure of gold with somebody else's treasure of gold? They're both filled the same way but differently.
So beautifully said. So beautifully said. And I think when we look at each other in that light, our relationships change too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's also what you said before, that your strengths color everything that we do, every decision we make and how we show up. And can we explore that a little bit? Like, what's your experiences with that? Maybe also with your clients and not about your own life only. Because I would be curious to see what can this extra light in a life actually make visible?
Yeah. So again, our strengths do color everything that we do, that we see, and they impact and they inform how we show up, how we feel, the things that we need, when we understand, so we need, keeping that in mind, that I'm going to take a step back and explain this concept for you. Mm-hmm. So now imagine that you are there's a circle, and we're going to use the paradigm of the Clifton Strengths Assessment. There are 34 general talent themes that you're measured against, and your report comes back with all of them being ranked for you. So we operate mostly from our top seven to nine, 10-ish. We have access to those, our top 7 to 10. So imagine now they're in front of me. So I'm standing inside this circle and they're right in front of me. Now on the peripheral, on the side here, there are maybe numbers, say 10 to 15, 16. My first 7 to 10 are in front of me. They're like in my primary vision. they're right. They're the things that color what I see and what I do and how I show up. I have access also to the ones that are 10 to 15, 16-ish, but I call on them as needed. You imagine they're in your peripheral vision. Mm-hmm. Now, and I can call on them as needed, and I can tuck them back if I don't need them. Now, imagine, so I'm standing in the circle. I have these things in my peripheral. Now, the rest of them are in my blind spot. They're in the rest of the circle that's behind me. And Isabella, I can't see them. I can't touch them. I don't understand them. And what's interesting, so that's about half of the strengths, roughly, when we talk about 34, right? I'm up to 16, 17. So about half of them are in my blind spot. And what's interesting is that the people that I have a conflict with, that the people I don't necessarily see eye to eye with, typically their strengths are in my blind spot.
Mm-hmm. Does that mean that their blind spots are not your strengths, or like in unintegrated strengths?
Their strengths. If I don't connect with them, if I can't, if we think very differently, we approach things very differently, it's very possible, very likely that their strengths. So one of my blind spots is one that's called restorative, and it's about problem solving. It's my number 34. Someone else who just loves seeing a problem, loves seeing a gap, and loves just taking care of it. And that's what they thrive on, this, ooh, problem, let me go fix it. And when I'm done with something and I'm done, I've put it aside, someone comes and tells me there's a problem here, I think, no, I'm done with it. I don't want to fix the problem. So we're different. They enjoy taking care of those things. I don't enjoy taking care of those things. In that particular example, we may not, it's not necessarily about being in conflict with each other. We're just very different. And
it can be complimenting too, right?
Like what you said. It can be a compliment. It can be a compliment. So perhaps another example would be another one that's in my blind spot is strategic. My husband has strategic. I am not good at planning ahead. I live in the moment. I lead with adaptability. He's about planning and, early in our marriage, when he would ask me to plan, and maybe there's like this cultural expectation, perhaps, that it, or not, that I would, he'd ask me to plan our vacation. Like, so when are we going on vacation? And I would get caught up in too many things, and I'd get frustrated, and then nothing would happen. When we started to understand that this is one of his, really, this is his gift. When he started planning our vacations, we actually went on them. I don't enjoy the planning process. I don't think that far ahead. I'm very much in the moment. So now together we complement each other. But back then it created some clashes, because I wasn't meeting his expectations. And I always felt like I was failing him, and he was disappointed. Mm. Do you see how that can create
conflict in a
relationship, right?
Yeah.
So, but without this understanding, there was a conflict and disappointment. With this understanding, it takes us on this little journey. In the beginning, it allows me to, with this understanding that the person I live with, or the person that I'm working with, has a different set of strengths, and that we might have opposite strengths. The people and ideas that I used to reject, I'm able to be more, I lost the word. Well, more accepting.
Mm.
I start to be a little bit more accepting. And what happens when I'm more accepting of the gift that they have and what they bring into my world is I start to notice the value of that gift and how it contributes in my life.
Mm.
And over time, when I start to notice that, I start to appreciate it. So we've gone from completely rejecting and resisting other people's ideas or other people's approaches or people in general to little by little accepting them more and more and coming to a place of appreciating that gift and how we can live in a more cohesive, in a more peaceful, in a way where each of us is really bringing our best and creating the whole together. Yeah.
Where everybody brings their best to the table and we just have a good dinner, you could say. Yeah, I just have one question going back to the circle picture that you painted for us. How many qualities or how many strengths are there in the whole system?
In according to the Clifton Strengths Assessment, there are 34.
Okay, so the ones that are in your blind spots, you would say, you would probably not call them your weaknesses or so on, but the ones that, or would you?
Yeah, you could. You could call them areas of weakness. Areas of weakness are things that I don't have, it doesn't come as naturally for me. I have to work a little bit harder at them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Now I got it, because that was a little confused in my head when you were talking about, okay, there are like blind spots, because it could also be that one could understand it in a way like, okay, but you can work on these, you can fix those weaknesses. You know, when you have that thinking, you would just take it still into that strength circle, you could say. But yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it's so beautiful what you said about, once you know your own strength and maybe your partner's strength too, and there is an open communication about it, it just makes seeing yourself and the other person on a much more integrated level rather than, going down to the level of like, you're not doing that right. Because when you don't do that, you just think that the things that come naturally for you and the things that are normal for you are the same way for everybody else. But it's never the truth. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things that you can learn with such a test and talking to other people about it too, to realize, oh wow, we're actually unique. And of course we are. Everybody's unique. But sometimes we have to make it visible.
It's so helpful to have a language, Isabella, to have a common language that we can all speak to.
Mm, yeah.
It just helps us better articulate. And of course, so adaptability for me might be different than the person sitting next to me because of the combination of our strengths. So it's not enough just to have the assessment and it's not enough just to know. It requires a conversation. It requires sharing with other people. It requires asking questions. It requires a conversation and letting people around you know, this is me. This is how I like to contribute. These are the things I love to do. These are the things that drain me. And I am happier. I am more productive. I am more engaged when I am doing these activities. Mm-hmm. And who wouldn't want to be in that place? But it requires conversation. Just because I have my results doesn't change anything for me.
Yeah, good point. And then I think if somebody would listen to us and they would have no idea about the test, how can they do the test and how would that work?
Sure. So there's lots of information on my website, strengths-edge.com/strengthsfinder is where you'll find the link and information about how to access. And so it's a simple process. There's a small purchase for receiving an access code. And then upon receiving your access code, you just dive in, block out 30 minutes of time, and answer with your gut. What's interesting is that the statements are, it's timed. You only have 20 seconds to respond. You're presented with two statements, ways that you might naturally think, feel, or behave. And you're asked to decide, do I really think, feel, and behave like this, or really think, feel, and behave like this? A little bit here, or I'm more neutral. Mm-hmm. And it forces you to move along quickly so that it's with your initial reaction instead of overthinking it. Mm-hmm. So to get the true results.
Okay, and then you would have the results, and then what one could go to you, and what would you do then with the people?
Oh my goodness. I would help them see their strengths. So with a series of questions, my joy in life is helping someone see the beauty of their strengths. So I would invite folks, when they've completed, whether you've completed the assessment or not, I would welcome and invite a conversation. Certainly with the results, it helps us to have a little bit deeper conversation. Mm-hmm. But I would encourage anyone who is interested in further exploration to hop on a call with me, a discovery call, and we'll do some fun exploration of your strengths, and also explore if working together is a good fit, if this is a good time for you to be going down this path of and this type of work to further understand who you are, and in order to be more effective in your work, to if you're looking to better to enjoy your relationships more, if you know you're finding your,
and have more energy too at the end.
Absolutely. And creative, to if you're finding yourself, you find yourself stuck in problems and don't know how to get out, there's what's very interesting is that when you tap into your strengths, solutions come. Mm-hmm. Solutions show up. And we can have those conversations, and I'll support you and coach you in how to leverage your strengths in creative problem solving.
Yeah, so we're going to put the link below this episode too, so people can find that discovery coaching session with you, and and actually do that with you, because I think it's so important. Yeah. Wonderful. Cool. So is there anything else you would like to tell the listeners listening to your episode here about how they could look into their strength, or maybe giving them a little piece of wisdom on their way?
What I'll do is build on something you said earlier, in that we often think the best way is to go and fix our weaknesses. That's what our society tells us. Right? Mm-hmm. There's a gap, go fix it.
Yeah, our economy is based on it.
Exactly. But I would ask you, where's your greatest return on investment? I can spend a lot of time and energy working on an area that doesn't come naturally for me, doesn't come easily. And yes, sure, when I've invested in it, of course I'm going to see some element of increase, of improvement. When I put some energy and investment into areas that come naturally for me already? What is the growth potential? Mm. It is exponential. Exponential. Yeah. Return on investment. Focus on your strengths. It doesn't mean ignoring the weakness. It means working around, mitigating around your weaknesses by leveraging and investing and growing your strengths.
Mm. Oh, that's so beautiful too. Yeah, to make it so simple, like the ROI on fixing your weakness is much lower than on strengthening your strengths.
Perfect.
to bring it into your economic language.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's true. Why would you make a kid learn math when they're absolutely not good at it and you're wasting all the time, because it actually is a language genius and it can never tap into that because it's just not the focus. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, I think we're actually at the end of this episode. I'm so grateful for you sharing your story and all the little moments that you had along your journey, like where you experienced certain things and where you actually came from and how actually a weakness can be a strength, but not like in a poetic way, like your weakness can be a strength, like making it very flowery and airy, but more like really in daily life and how we can see ourselves and how we can choose our job and how we can show up in our family and in our social circle and so on, rather than being so weakness focused. And a lot of the personal development industry is also focusing a lot on weakness fixing, and I think that's such an important message to get out there, to like, hey, there's another way that's much smarter, this is how it works. So thank you so much for pioneering in that field.
thank you so much for the opportunity to share and to spread the word. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Yeah. So and thank you to you, listener, for listening until here in this podcast episode with Nermeen over here and me over there on the other side of the world, connecting about how we can build confidence with our strength and not with our weakness fixing. And I hope you take as much away as I did and share the episode with everybody you think it would be worth it and they would take a lot of it away. And I see you in the next episode. And until then, aloha.